Matthew chapter 9. We are studying today verses 1 to 13. Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 to 13. And what we're talking here today is about the great physician. The great physician. But before we do, let's have a word of prayer this morning. And Brother Smith, why don't you lead us in prayer this morning? Amen. All righty. Matthew chapter 9, let's read verses 1 to 13, and then let's study about the great physician. Entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house, but when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners, that's Republicans and Democrats. Republicans and sinners. Came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In studying about this great physician, we want to remind ourselves what Jesus said here in verse 12. He said, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. That's where we get the idea of Jesus Christ being the great physician, because he had come, he'd healed this man with the palsy, and then described why he was eating with these publicans and sinners. And, you know, when you get sick, you go to the doctor, generally. You may try a homeopathic cure, and when that doesn't work, then you go to the doctor. But generally, you go to the doctor when you're sick. And therefore, we went to Jesus because we were sick, see? And from this text, we find the areas of our sickness. It's not just physical. The first area of sickness that we see in the text that shows up right from the beginning is we have sick bodies. Sick bodies. This man here came, He had palsy. Our bodies get sick with disease. We're susceptible to that kind of stuff. You eat the wrong kind of food, it has a germ on it, you get dysentery. You get bit by a mosquito and can contact malaria or encephalitis or something like that. Sometimes you have diseases that come on you as a result of birth. Some people over time get other kinds of diseases like meningitis and cancer and heart disease and things like that. Our bodies get sick with disease. This fellow was sick with the palsy, which is a muscular disease. He lost control of it so much so that he couldn't walk. And in the Bible we find all kinds of physical problems that come into men. Palsy. We've already studied one case of that in Matthew 8:6, where the centurion's servant was grievously tormented with palsy. Leprosy, there was a man that came to Jesus Christ, and he said to him, as a leper, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. He had leprosy. Peter's mother-in-law had a fever. She was probably sick of him. didn't know the cause of that, but we have all kinds of infections that strike the body causing fevers. People have arthritis, people have diabetes, people have hypoglycemia, various kinds of disorders. We'll see as we get through more of Matthew chapter 9, there's a woman that has an issue of blood, bleeding, some kind of a bleeding illness. Blindness, later on in Matthew 9, there's going to be a couple of blind men that get healed. A man with a withered hand. There's all kinds of diseases in the Bible. Look in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Watch it, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. It's endless. There's some that diseases that are compounded or problems that are compounded by the devil. There's a fellow possessed with a devil, and he's blind and he's dumb. When the devil goes out, he can see and he can speak. It's all kinds of problems. Well, Jesus Christ is just the person that can heal all of it, every manner of sickness and every manner of disease. You may have in your own life a personal testimony of something that the Lord has healed in your life. Or you may have the testimony of a friend of something that the Lord has healed in their lives. But even to this day, our great physician can heal sick bodies. He doesn't always. He doesn't always, and there's reasons for that. Paul had an illness, a thorn in the flesh, a minister of Satan to buffet him. The Lord said, I'm not going to heal that because I want to use that for my glory, and I want to use that to demonstrate my grace at work in you. So a lot of times a person is going to be sick. He'll suffer. Haven't you ever gone through something and then somebody has come to you and said, I know this is bad, but did you know what happened to old so-and-so? Or somebody will say, even when you're having trouble, you don't have to go far down the street to find somebody else that's in worse shape than you are. Some of that suffering is to be a comfort to those that are suffering. Some of that suffering is for the glory of God. There are all kinds of reasons. So God certainly can, but He doesn't always. And it's not always just a matter of faith. We have sick bodies, and every kind of sickness and every kind of disease strikes these bodies, and the Lord can heal them. And what does the great physician do to our bodies? He heals them. He heals our sick bodies. That's what He did to this fellow in verse 6 of our text. But that you may know the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go to thine house. And he did. He did, and he did it to demonstrate the fact that when he said to that man, your sins are forgiven, that in fact he had done it because he was able to do something nobody else was able to do. But you know something, truthfully, not all of our sicknesses are apparent. I mean, you could see this fellow with palsy. He was laid out on his bed where he couldn't walk. Matter of fact, you're going to find out that he was carried by four other men to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not all of the sickness is apparent. Some of the sickness that we have is of a spiritual nature. Some of the sickness we have is of a mental nature. Some of the sickness we have is of a heart nature. As a matter of fact, the next thing we see in our text here is that not only do we have sick bodies, we also have sick souls. Sick souls. Look in verse 2. Behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, saith unto the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. Now you're looking around, wait a minute, what? I was reading verse 2, but I didn't read verse 2 properly. I jumped over and got verse 6. What did he say to him? He said, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be, I said that the first time too. I don't know what his sons had done, but they were forgiven too, undoubtedly. Thy sins be forgiven thee. He had a sick soul. And our souls are sick with sin. You know, once we get saved, God takes care of that. But even after we get saved, we know that sin is ingrained down inside of this thing. And as much as we don't want to do certain things, we do those things anyway. Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. When I would do good, evil is present with me. And that's the way it is with us. You know that Bible says something that's very common to you in Romans 3:23. Look at that. You can quote it without even looking at it. Some of you, Romans 3:23. You knew what it was, might not have known where it was. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 10 says, and is it written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Our souls are sick with sin. And therefore, this fella had sins that needed to be dealt with. He didn't know that when he came there. He thought he was just coming with these men to be healed of a of a physical disease, a sickness in his body. But in fact, he had a sickness in his soul. That's a nice song. I programmed that one on my phone. You know that one, huh? Okay, all right. Our song leader knows one of the songs. Amen. Huh? Oh, yeah, right, a minister of music. When he knows the song, he's the minister of music. Yeah. And you know something, as riddled as this guy's body was with palsy, nobody probably was thinking about his sins at the time. You know, there are a lot of sins that are in the soul that are not obvious. I mean, if somebody is a murderer, or somebody, you know, is a thief, or something like that, or somebody has a vile mouth, that's fairly obvious. You can see that sin. But our souls are sick with sin, and there's a lot of sin that's not so obvious to you, like envy, and pride, and jealousy, and covetousness, and lust, and anger, and bitterness, and all that inside stuff. Now, after a period of time, it'll become evident. Maybe not to a lot of people, but it will to some. But really and truly, those sins are not quite so obvious, and that's why a lot of people don't come to the Lord Jesus Christ, because they don't realize that they're sick. How many times have people had cancer for a long period of time but didn't know it because they didn't see any symptoms? And then all of a sudden, one day they go to the doctor and they say, you know, it is a stage whatever high because you've had this for a while, you just didn't know it. Well, there are a lot of people that have this trouble with sin, but they don't realize what the trouble is. Our souls are sick with sin. That's what we see in this text here, because Jesus Christ dealt with his sins before he ever concerned himself with the man's physical need. So what does our great physician do to our sins? He forgives them. He forgives them. Like he said here, thy sons be forgiven, thy sins. I did it again. I don't know. When I get to heaven, I'm going to have to ask the Lord, what was wrong with his sons? Thy sins. I know what it is. It's Grace and Esther. They've been around our house too much, and now it's messing up my speech. Absolutely. It's Adam's problem. You did it, Eve. I'm going to change one of their names to Eve, just so I can blame them for everything. 1 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to do what? To save sinners, of whom I am chief. Look in Colossians chapter 1, going backwards toward Matthew. Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 14. Our great physician doesn't only deal with the body. He heals sick bodies. He also heals sick souls. Look at verse 14, Colossians chapter 1. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the what? The forgiveness of sins. That's what he does to our sick souls. He forgives our sins. Thank God for it too. Whew! Thank God for that. All right. In our text again, we notice something else. Let's look at verses 3 through 8. Really, the problem shows up in verse 3 and 4. It's sick hearts. Sick hearts. Today, you would think that the only kind of heart problem is cholesterol, blockage, congestive heart failure, those kind of things. Those are physical heart ailments. But there are also spiritual heart ailments like these. Look at verse 3. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, they weren't talking out loud, they were reasoning within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think you evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Now, of course, the multitude marveled, but you know, the Pharisees had seen this, the scribes saw this, and in a little while they became very envious of what the Lord Jesus Christ could do. They decided not to glorify God, but rather to kill Jesus Christ. Why? Because of the evil hearts in verse 4. Sick hearts. You know, and our hearts are sick with evil and wickedness, according to the Bible. Jesus Christ was dealing with some Pharisees. Keep your finger where you are. Turn to Mark chapter 7, verse 21. And notice the condition of a man's heart. Mark chapter 7, verse 21. You see, it's always man's nature to cover his infirmities of sin with a change in the outward appearance. A man is not doing right and he says, you know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to start going to church. See? Adam and Eve sinned, and what they went and made fig leaves to cover their nakedness. Man always deals with the outward appearance and effect of sin. So if the stuff is going on the inside where it doesn't show up on the outside, he won't deal with it. And God said, you know what? Your hearts are evil. They're sick. You need a physician who can heal a sick heart. Why? Because look at Mark chapter 7, verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, which can be committed without action, fornications, which is the action, murders, which can be just the result of hating somebody, according to 1 John, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, sex gone wild, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from where? Within. Within. And defile the man. Sick heart. Sick heart. I told you. And you've seen this, if you've ever attempted to deal with folks about their sin, they'll immediately go to the things they haven't done. But it says nothing about the condition of their heart. Truthfully, if they would be honest with themselves, when we're honest with ourselves, we recognize there's a trouble with the heart. Now, the scribes and their thoughts accused Jesus Christ of blasphemy because he forgave the man's sins. But you know something? The reason they accused him of that blasphemy is because forgiving sins is something that only God can do. In Mark chapter 2, where this companion passage shows up, they accused him of blasphemy because they said, who can forgive sins but God only? They knew that that was something only God could do. And they accused him of blasphemy because they didn't recognize that he was God manifest in the flesh. Now, we know Jesus is God. Thus, they were accusing him of something. Truthfully, of which they were guilty. Who were the blasphemers? Jesus Christ? Of course not, because he's God manifest in the flesh. Over there in Mark chapter 3, Jesus Christ cast out a devil. And then the Pharisees said among themselves, he casteth out devils by whom? By Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And the Lord went through there and said, well, now, wait a minute. If Satan cast out Satan, then is his kingdom divided. If a kingdom is divided, then it cannot stand. So that won't work. And then he says this, every sin of man can be forgiven, but one sin won't be forgiven. And that's the sin of blasphemy, because they said he hath an unclean spirit. They were the blasphemers. Isn't it a funny thing, but you'll hear people, they'll accuse somebody of a sin, and the truth of the matter is, not knowing it themselves, it's their own problem. Sick heart. That's a sick heart. What does the great physician do to our hearts then? We know what he does to our bodies. He heals our sick bodies. We know what he does to our souls. He forgives the sins in our sick souls. But what does he do to our hearts? Well, the Bible says he cleanses them. He cleanses them. Look in Psalm 51, verse 10. Psalm 51, verse 10. This is David praying to the Lord after committing his sin with Bathsheba. He is going through a great mournful repentance with the Lord. And what does he say to the Lord in Psalm 51, verse 10? Create in me a clean heart, O God. That's what he does. He cleaned it up. Now, you know something? It's really funny, but when you look back on your life since you've been saved, there have been things in your heart you didn't realize were there. God showed you. And through the words of God, the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, through singing and prayer and the work of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, your heart has changed and it's begun to clean up. That's a wonderful thing. That's a great physician. We also see in this text, not only is there a trouble with these sick hearts, but there's also a trouble with sick natures. Look at, again, in our text, Matthew chapter 9, at verses 9 and 10. Sick natures. Matthew chapter 9, look at verses 9 and 10. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew. He's also called Levi in the companion passages. Sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, follow me, and he arose and followed him. Now, what was he doing at the receipt of custom? Collecting taxes for Rome, collecting them from the Jews. So he's a bad guy because he's picking up this money from his own folks. And so it came to pass, in verse 10, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Now, it turns out when you read the companion passages in Mark and Luke on this, that the house that he's in is Matthew's house. He goes to have a meal with him. And so Matthew's friends show up at the meal, and they're all like he is. They're publicans and sinners. And the Pharisees, in verse 11 said, let's see, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Okay. These guys are publicans and sinners. What's the problem there? Their nature, they've got a sick nature. Our natures are sick from the fall of Adam. And I'll give you an understanding why. Keep your finger where you are. I mean, these guys are publicans and sinners. By the way, do you know what a publican did? He picks up money, right, at the receipt of custom. When John the Baptist was baptizing and the publicans came to see what they needed to do, he had to give him, those publicans a specific command to demonstrate that they were really repentant. That command is in Luke chapter 3, and it's in verse 12. Luke chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what should we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. What were they doing?
Stealing.
Stealing. Absolutely. Turning in some to Rome. And George Parr. That kind of deal. Now, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and look at verse 14. Our problem is that when we are born, we are natural men. We're not spiritual men. We are natural men. That's our problem. And so we have a tendency with spiritual things to make them like our nature. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the Bible says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. See that? So, a natural man will fall in love with natural things around him. He'll fall in love with nature. What's the problem with falling in love with nature? Nature's going to be destroyed by fire one of these days. He'll fall in love with money. What's the trouble with loving money? Well, the love of money is the root of all evil. And so what will happen, our nature is because of the fall of Adam, our nature is such that we turn to natural things, and natural things are vain. They don't last. And it's impossible for a natural man to concern himself with spiritual things and understand those spiritual things unless the Holy Spirit gives him some understanding in those matters. So by nature we're corrupt, and we seek those things that are corrupt, just like these publicans, just like these sinners, just like Matthew. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And look at verse 50. First Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 50. Here's the problem. With our nature, our human nature, our natural bodies, our natural minds, and so forth, we got a problem. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Our bodies and our natures are corrupt. And if something doesn't change, there's no way for us to be able to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God. We've got a sick nature. We're like these publicans and these sinners here. So what does the great physician do to our natures? He changes them. He changes that nature. And he gives you a new nature so that you can have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and so that you can live with him eternally. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 at verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and look at verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So he's got to change that nature, and that's what he was about. He's got to be with these publicans and sinners and the likes of Matthew so that he can introduce himself to them and so that their nature can change. Otherwise, all they do is become more like the Pharisees. And the Lord said to the Pharisees, how can you escape the damnation of hell? You got to have a change of nature. You got to have a change of heart. You got to have a change of soul. You got to have a change of body. That's why the Lord's going to give us a glorified body. Whether you get healed on this side of eternity or not, you can be sure of this one thing. You're going to get a body that will never get sick. See? You got to change all that. That's why he's called the great physician. See, he deals with the whole thing. Sometimes you take your car in there to the auto mechanic and you say, I think I got a problem here. And he goes in, does a diagnosis. He finds out you got a bad fan belt. And so he changes that out. And you start driving it and you go back in there and you say, well, I still got a problem. There was a guy whose car died here in the parking lot on Wednesday night. And what happened? Said something about a gasket and water and got in the engine, you know, like that. So they fixed the gasket, but they never checked the oil. And he locked up right here. You see, Jesus Christ is not like that. He doesn't just deal with one thing. When he gets a hold of a man, he deals with every aspect of his sickness. With this man that was sick with a palsy, he said, I'm going to take care of something that you really need help with, your sins. With these publicans and sinners, I'll take care of your natures. With those scribes that were having evil thoughts, I'll take care of your heart. And I'll take care of your body. See how great he is? He really is the great physician. And not only that, we notice from our text another sickness. Sick minds. Sick minds. Verse 11. When the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Well, you know, they should have been shocked. Why would Jesus eat with us? All they could do is just look down their noses. You know, what's he doing eating with publicans and sinners? As if he's going to eat with anybody, he ought to be eating with us. After all, we're the psalm leader. You got to stay here all the way through choir practice and Sunday night service. Well, I mean, I used to fire a lot of them over this way, and I fired a lot of them into this section here. It was your turn. It's your turn. And then after a while, we can just do this, and you guys can kind of move back in there. We can bring Randy and some of those guys up here, shoot at them a while. Sick minds. Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Our minds are sick in this world because of the influence of the devil in this world. Look at this thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It affected all of us, certainly before we got saved, just like these poor Pharisees. Some of them got saved, but before they did, their minds were evil affected by the devil's work here in the world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Verse 3, for the context, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath what? Blinded the minds. See? Blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The mind's sick because of those influences. It cannot see that when it judges somebody else for something, that it's guilty of the same thing. Paul had to write to the Romans about that. The Pharisees criticized Jesus because they had respect of persons. They thought they were better than the other guys. But James wrote in his letter something very specific about doing that, and I want you to see it because it pinpoints their problem. James chapter 2, look at verses 1 to 4. James chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. That's what they were doing. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool, are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of what? Evil thoughts. See? Mind sick. Sick mind. So what does the great physician do to our minds? He restores them. He restores them. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 says, we have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2, 16. We have the mind of Christ. That's a great thing. And then we see one more thing in the text. In verses 12 and 13, sick spirits. Verses 12 and 13, when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Sick spirits. Our spirits were sick because before we got saved, we were lost. The Lord said to Adam, he says, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. He ate it, and that day he died. Ephesians 2:1 says, before you got saved, you were dead in trespasses and sins. So these Pharisees thought that by doing something, he said, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. They thought by doing something, by sacrificing, that they could change what they were. That they, you know, the sinful sick spirit that they had. But that's not possible. You cannot change what you are by changing what you do. Did you get that? Later on in this morning when I preach, I'll remind you of that. But think about that. That's a profound thought. You cannot change what you are by changing what you do. See that? If a person told some lies, he says, you know what, I'm going to quit lying. Change what I do. He's still a liar because the Bible knows he's a liar at heart. Let God be true, but every man a liar. He just happens to be a liar that's not lying right now. See? So what does the great physician do to our spirits? The Bible says he renews them. He renews them. Turn with me to Psalm 51 and look at verse 10. Again, back to that prayer of David. We read the second half of that verse, Psalm 51, verse 10. Create a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And then watch that. And renew a right spirit within me. Got to renew it. Notice also that spirit, once you have a renewed spirit, you're saved. By the Lord, you know, and he said this. He said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter in the kingdom of God. Whatsoever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatsoever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. He's got to renew that spirit. And once our spirits are renewed, look in Ephesians chapter 4 at verse 23. The Lord, by salvation, the Lord expects that salvation to have an effect on us from the inside out and change the minds and renew the mind. I'm right in the middle of a context, but notice verse 22 in Ephesians chapter 4, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be what? Renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So, boy, I'll tell you what, we do have a great physician. And when he gets a hold of these sick things, these bodies, these minds, these natures, these souls, these hearts, he changes the whole man from the inside out. And he's the only one that can do it. And you see the evidence of all the people like us that needed those changes and how the Lord dealt with those things. Thank God that He dealt with our souls and forgave us our sins. Thank God that He promised He's going to give us new bodies, and some of us have even experienced the benefit of that healing power of God this side of eternity. Thank God for that. And thank God that He's given us sound minds. Some of us came into this and our minds weren't so sound, and saved our spirits and changed our hearts so that we could serve the Lord Jesus Christ and enjoy Him on this side of eternity. Amen? All right. Any questions about the lesson this morning?